Spirit, I need you.
Last week I talked about love. Man, last week was Valentine's Day, so that was a great day to really talk about love, right? And love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so I don't want to walk too far out of the picture here. I like to move around, but I can't. I kind of stuck in this window here. But another fruit of the Spirit is peace. And I think one thing that we all need in our life is peace. And I don't think any of us here will disagree with that. And in Galatians 5:22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." And so peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So it's important. It's what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives us. Is peace. When we trust and put our faith in God, the Holy Spirit provides us peace. And everyone, I think, wants to have peace of mind, especially whether you have a job or stay at home, or whether you're a male or female, or whether you're 15 or 50, or everyone wants to have peace of mind. But most of us have to admit that we experience more stress in life than peace. And we find ourselves stressed out all the time, and we allow that stress to become part of our life when we should be giving it away. We should be giving it to Jesus. We should have more peace in our life than stress. You know, there is a little test, a little quiz I want to give you this morning. It's just fill in the blank, and I'm just going to speak the questions. And, you know, you guys are familiar with stress, right? So these are things that are... I want you to complete these sentences. It says, "I'm ready to throw in the..." That's what I got wrote down. That's good. So, "I'm at the end of my..." "I'm just a bundle of..." "My life is falling..." Well, I may have to get a pencil and write some more in there, but I had a part. So that's pretty common, right? "I'm at my wits. I feel like resigning from the human." Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? I tell you, some people get to that point. Some people get to that point, and that's what stress can do. That's what life without peace can do. It can get you, you know, these things we're familiar with. These were not things that are uncommon to our daily life. And we probably have said them to our kids multiple times. "I'm at my wit's end." You know, "Boy, you're just a bundle of joy today." Who's heard that before? You know, "I'm about to throw in the towel. I'm done with it all. I'm at the end of my rope." But you know those answers. You knew them. I didn't, you know, and that's why it's so familiar, because you have heard them before, and you probably experienced most of them in your life. Stress is an unfortunate fact of life of our modern world, especially today. It seems like this year has been probably one of the most stressful years for many people. Either it's lack of job, or can't go to work, or you have to wear a mask everywhere you go, and politics, and all kinds of stuff that we could bring up and talk about how stressful. I mean, I hear people are just stressed out. School teachers are stressed out. I know we have one here today that I know it's just been stressful. I mean, Jacob's been at home, and I've been helping him, trying to help him with school, you know. It's been a long time since I've been in eighth grade. Things are different now. You know, we're told too much. Stress is unhealthy. You've heard that. Doctors tell you that. You got to get rid of your stress. What else is new? Stress is there, right? We have known that for centuries. But nearly 3,000 years ago, Solomon wrote this: a sound mind makes for a robust body, but runaway emotions corrode the bones. That's in Proverbs 14:30. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about stress and even more about its antidote. There is an antidote to our stress, and peace of mind is one of them. Did you know that the Bible speaks about three kinds of peace? There's three kinds of peace, but what is peace? Do you know what peace really is? The Bible takes these three kinds of peace, and I'm going to talk about those today. First is spiritual peace. We got to have spiritual peace with God. In Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen? You know, that is the foundation of all peace. And that's it right there. That's the bottom line, is we have to have peace with God before we can have any other kind of peace in our life. And I hope you found that peace. I hope you know what the peace is, what that's all about, that God can bring you. Because I think so many times we don't have that peace in our life when it's right in front of us and all we have to do is accept it. There's only one way to obtain it, and that's through Jesus Christ. You know, John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So we find spiritual peace is necessary. The next one is emotional peace. First, we must have peace with God and spiritual peace, of course, but then we need peace, the peace of God, emotional peace. This is what most of us think about when we think of the word peace, is this emotional peace, an internal sense of well-being, you know, or order. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." You know, the Greek word there that's translated rule that he uses in that is used in this context here. It's used, it means umpire. And that, so this verse, we should let the peace of God be the umpire of our lives. And you know what an umpire does in sports. That's what it says. It rules. It umpires your life. You know, what does an umpire do? He keeps the peace. He makes sure the game is played in a smooth and orderly manner, doesn't he? God wants to give us, to give you an eternal umpire who will keep you at peace when everything around you seems to be chaotic. And I know that many of us, we know what that means. We know what chaos is in our lives. Sometimes we have good weeks and good months and good years, and sometimes we have chaotic years and chaotic weeks and chaotic days. You ever heard anyone say, "I need to get away"? You ever said that? I've said that many times. I got to get out of here. I got to go somewhere. And I know every one of you has said it before, and you know, it seems like we get so tired and stressed out, and our mind just races through whatever's going on and all the problems that we have in life, and sometimes we just want to just take off and go somewhere, you know. And I was thinking this week about, when I was thinking about this, I was like, man, all this cold weather, when it was 10 below zero wind chill factor and all this snow and ice, I said, wouldn't it be so nice to be sitting on a beach in Tahiti? Man, just sitting there listening to the waves. Man, soaking up the sunshine. Wouldn't that be awesome? Let's just all go. Let's just all fly down to Tahiti and spend a week. What do you say? Is everybody game for that? We can call it a mission trip. But you know, that's not going to solve our problems, is it? That's temporal. It's just temporary. It'd be fun, though, wouldn't it? Sometimes we need that temporal peace, but it never gives you the spiritual peace and the emotional peace that comes from God. Because that's eternal peace. That's lasting peace. And that only comes from Jesus Christ. The third thing is relational peace. We need relational peace too. The Bible says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Boy, that's a broad statement, isn't it? Because I'm telling you, if possible, that's truth. Because sometimes there's some people that's hard to get along with. But we got to have this emotional peace. We got to have this relational peace. He said, so far as it depends on you. So that's possible because it depends on you for the most part. It's not always about the other person, but you can try your best, but it depends on you. Whether you're going to let it go or not. And sometimes we get into places or we get into relationships where sometimes we have to shake the dust off our feet and walk away. Relational peace reduces conflict. We must know from experience that relationships can be a source of stress. Anybody that's been married for any time. You know, Lee and I have been married 30 years, and some of you have been married longer than that, and some of you not very long at all. But let me tell you, there's stress in marriage, isn't there, at times? It's not always honeymoon. It's not. I just got a book. I can't remember the name of it. I should have brought it back in here. I get books. They send books to the church all the time. And it's something about, you know, when your marriage is not like the honeymoon it used to be or something like that, getting back to that. But stress comes in not just in our marriage relationships, but in friendship relationships, sometimes with a boss at work or friends or in-laws or your outlaws or all kinds of, you know, your brothers, sisters, all your family. I mean, there's all kinds of conflict that we could come across in our life, right? This relational. These things can rob us of our peace. But to have true peace, we need spiritual, emotional, and relational peace. And we can find it in Jesus. In 1 John 14:27, Jesus promises, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives you, I give to you. He promises peace to us. He says, I give you peace. I like what the Amplified Version says. It says, peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. I like that. Because no matter what goes on in your day, no matter what goes on in your marriage, no matter what goes on at work or with your friends, or no matter what, God can give you peace. No matter what, I give it to you. If possible, he says, as far as it depends on you. That means we got to accept that peace. We got to recognize the source of the peace. Because we have the adversary that I talk about, which I have to talk about that because he's there, he's real. I may always avoid that conversation, but Satan's always real and he wants chaos. So he wants you to live a life without peace, and Jesus is saying, I'll give you peace. Satan's like, ah, there is no peace. Remember the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day? He searched for peace, but he found it with God. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, it only comes from one place. You look in this world's chaotic, and you're not going to find peace. There's wars and rumors of wars and all that kind of stuff. I mean, there's just so much chaos going on today. You watch the news very long, and it's always negative, and it's always somebody's mad at somebody else or don't like what this person said because they got offended by something or whatever. I didn't comb my hair to the right, I combed it to the left, or whatever. People get offended for everything, don't they? There is no peace. You can't make everyone happy. That's why that scripture says, if possible, so far as it depends on you. I don't want to get off here. Jesus spoke those words before he went to the cross. Jesus says that he gives us the peace as a gift. We can't work for it. We can't earn it. It's not something we can pretend to have. We cannot psych ourselves up. It's a gift that we simply accept. I accept it every day. Amen. I want peace in my life. There's days I let things get to me. I do. I let things get to me and I start asking why. It's kind of like the hee-haw song. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Anybody know that song? Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. I know that whole song. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. And then they go on, take a share in their sad stories. You know, life's like that, isn't it? You know, the peace that Jesus gives is different from what the world gives. The world's peace is fragile. Like I said, you know, how many wars have there been in just our lifetime? I think about all the conflicts and all the war and cultural things, and how many ceasefires? There was a statistic said that in the past 3,500 years, there's only been 286 years of peace out of 3,500 years. That's something, isn't it? See, the peace in the world is temporal. But we also notice that God's peace is not related to circumstances or situations. God's peace allows us to be tranquil in the midst of trouble. Amen. So how do we get this peace? I don't want to preach very long, but I'm going to preach it. I've got some keys to this. We have to first of all obey God's principles. We have to be doers of the word, not just hearers. First, if we want peace, we must obey God's principles. It's found in the word. In Psalms 119, 165, it says, those who love your law have great peace. Nothing makes them stumble. God says that peace comes from when we live in harmony with Him, when we do what He tells us to do. You know, when we buy a new car, it comes with an owner's manual, right? Sometimes we grab that owner's manual and chuck it out the window. I mean, how many cars have you ever got in, you look in the glove box, and you find the owner's manual? If you buy a used one, it's usually missing. It's probably usually because it belonged to a man. He don't need it. He don't need a manual. He just throws it away. He gets lost. You know, but sometimes this manual, in the owner's manual of the car, it tells us if we do certain things at certain times, we'll get more mileage out of our car or whatever. You know, it tells us where all the buttons are. It tells us where all the controls are. It tells us how they work, right? Well, the Bible does the same thing for us Christians. It's our owner's manual. If we want peace, we just look in there. We find peace. Where is it at? It's written in the Word. You know? God's Word is our owner's manual, and it contains principles for health, just like we prayed. You know, the Bible tells us, when somebody's sick among you, bring them to the front. Let the elders pray for them. Lay hands on them. That's what the Scripture says. That's why we do that. We want help in our relationships. It's in the Bible. And when we ignore these principles, it will leave us with no peace. The second thing is, we need to accept God's pardon. We got to accept God's pardon. We must accept His forgiveness. Man, your past is gone. If you've accepted Christ into your life, your past is gone. All that's been forgiven. It's not there any longer. It's erased in the eyes of God. We got to accept that. God has forgiven you. He no longer holds it against you. No matter what the world wants to see in you, that's irrelevant. It's what God wants to see in you. We got to accept God's pardon in our life. You know, guilt is the number one thing that destroys the peace in most people. Because we feel guilty about things that we've done. And Satan always wants to bring up those things. You remember that time when you did that? It's like, yeah, but I don't want to remember it. I know it was wrong and I know I shouldn't have done it, but God forgave me, right? I accept Him. He accept me. He forgave me, so get behind me, Satan. I don't want to remember that anymore because God doesn't remember it. The world wants you to not forget it, but that's what Satan wants you to do because he doesn't want you to have peace in your life. He wants you to carry that guilt. Scripture in Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He has removed our transgressions from us. Amen. So good. It's God's nature to forgive, and He likes to forgive, and God's like the big eraser. The world's not. I've said this many times before. It's like when we're born, we get this big board. It's white. We do stuff right, we get a white sticker on this white board. We do something wrong, we get a black sticker. And that's what the world sees, all these black stickers. But when we accept Jesus into our life, it all turns white. On one side, Jesus sees all white. On the other side, the world still sees all the black. They remember all those little black stickers on there, but they don't see all the 100 million good things you did. They just see those 10 or 15 bad things because they stick out. Man, God's forgiven us. He doesn't remember it anymore. God's forgiveness is available to each and every one of us here today. Amen. It's available to us. Third thing is, we need to focus on God's presence. Amen. That's when we came here today and we start to worship today, that's what we should be focused on, is His presence. As the body of Christ, when we come together, that should be what we focus on. This is why we come together. It's not a country club. It's not a social club. It's to focus on Him. And in our everyday life, we should focus on His presence in our life. If we want peace, we must focus on Him. We must realize that God is always with us. Amen. He's with you everywhere you go. Isaiah 26:3 reminds us, it says this, you will keep Him in perfect peace. whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Amen. We have a choice of either focusing on our problems or focusing on God. Which do you choose today? I know which one brings peace and which one brings chaos and guilt and all kinds of other stuff, depression and all those things. See, it's what you concentrate on is what determines your level of personal peace. And focusing on God and in His presence, He promises to never leave us or forsake us. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, Psalms 46:1. The Psalms here, that he reminds us that God is our refuge and he is our strength. No matter how overwhelming life is, sometimes we go through some pretty tough things in our life. But no matter what you're going through today, God is with you through it all. Also in Psalms 46:10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we just have to get quiet. Ceasing, striving, and know that I am God. Man, such great words. The things we need to do when we are facing troubles is to seek God. The second thing is we need to be still. And listen, because he says he speaks. We think God speaks with this big loud voice. But he's got a still, small, quiet voice. He just wants us to get quiet and listen. The third thing we need to do is realize that God is God. And that he's big enough to take care of us. He's big enough to take care of all your problems, to see you through it all. We got to obey God's principles and accept God's pardon and focus on God's presence. That's next, we need to trust God's purpose for our life. I think that's a big one that we have trouble with. Because we have our own plans and our own desires and our own wants. And sometimes God changes that. I know that from experience. I never thought to be a pastor, and I've said this many, many times, and I'll say it, I keep telling, I never thought of myself ever being a pastor. I've seen what pastors go through. And I said, you know, that's just not me. I'll work in the church, I'll be a youth leader, I'll do music, I'll do whatever else, I'll do all these other things, I'll help plant churches, I'll go do all these things, but being a pastor is just not my thing. And God's like, hey, I need you to do this for me. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. He's like, hey, I need you to do this. It's like, no, I don't want to do that. Well, you're going to do it anyway. It's kind of how it felt. And I'm like, well, you know, I'll give it some time. I'll think about it. And here I am. God has a way of this purpose, you know, this purpose that we have. We just have to trust God, and God will open the doors. God will make things happen. I think I'm not smart enough to be a pastor. You have to be smart. God says, I'll give you what you need. All knowledge comes from me. Right? Not the things of this world. It's not about the text. It's not about the letter. It's not about the, you know, people go to the college and get degrees and get all that thing. But it's not about that. God says, it's about me. You know, those things are okay. It's not about that. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians to the Corinthian church. But we have to trust God's purpose. And if we experience God's peace, we must trust His purpose. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." I love that. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's His knowledge. There's four verbs actually found in that. Acknowledge. Direct. Commands. It expresses a promise. God will direct your path. If you read that. So let us consider this morning trust. Have you noticed that many things in life do not make sense? A lot of things in life that just really doesn't make sense. I think they've sometimes there's a lot of people that don't make sense. And we let that get to us. And we try to figure things out because we want to know. We want to know. We have this desire to want to know, right? We disagree with somebody. We want to know why. Something doesn't work right. We want to know. We have this. Sometimes we just have to consider and notice things that don't make sense, and sometimes things are beyond our control. I've said before, it was not my choice to have kidney disease, right? It's beyond my control. I couldn't, it's not something I chose. But I had to come to understanding that God's purpose, God's in control. Some things I just don't need to figure out. I don't need to understand why. Nobody could ever tell me why. It was always that, well, you have. It's just it. Lean not on our own understandings means don't try to figure life out yourself. We do it all the time, and I do it too. And we waste a lot of time in our life. We waste a lot of energy in our life trying to figure out things instead of going to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I just turn it over to You. I look in Your Word. Right there's the answers. I'm just going to do it and trust You and live my life that way. I give it to You. You handle it." We all face those problems in our life. And sometimes I've been there. Why me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? I've had many people talk to me about stuff like that. Matter of fact, I've had a lot of conversations with the Lord about that. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done? There's always a song, isn't there? To deserve even one. See, I'm not alone. Those questions have been asked for years, haven't they? I heard a preacher one time say, "Someday I'm going to preach a sermon on words or phrases we will never hear God say." And one of those words is, "Oops." God will never say, "Oops." He never makes mistakes. Amen. When He created you, He didn't make a mistake. I remember the story of Abraham when God came to Abraham and told him, He said, "Now I want you to go and sacrifice your son." Man, that's crazy, isn't it? Can you imagine Abraham hearing God say, "Hey, I want you to take your son and take him up to Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice him to me." Abraham's like, "Well, okay." So he saddled up his donkey, he put some wood on it, and he took two servants and Isaac, and they headed to Mount Moriah, and they get to the base of the mountain. They traveled 3 days. And remember, that 3 days means something. So he gets to the mountain, and he tells his servants, And here's what I want to point out here. This is the big thing about this story. I mean, the big thing is he went up to the mountain and God provided a lamb. When he was going to sacrifice his son, but God provided a lamb. He said, stop, don't do it. But the big thing in that is when he was at the base of the mountain, he told his two servants, he said, you stay here, we will be back. He didn't say, I will be back. It was just him and Isaac going up. But he trusted God to supply, and he said, we will be back. And guess what? Him and Isaac came back down off the mountain. Such an amazing story. Amen? Bobo was a barking. We'll have to mute for Bobo. Bobo saying amen. Bobo likes that story. God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. And I just want you to know to trust Him. I want you to hear that. I want you to believe that. Just trust Him. Trust Him. Don't lean under your own understanding. And I'm sure Abraham didn't understand, but he trusted God to provide a way. Acknowledge Him and everything. I don't preach. I'm going too long here this morning. You know, many of us have traveled down some pretty crooked paths, and we've wandered here and we've wandered there. But God says, if we'll just trust Him, He says, if you'll just trust me and acknowledge me and lean on me, not on your own understanding, that I will direct your way. And I will lead you down the paths. And the last thing I want to talk about is we need to trust God. Ask for God's peace. We need to ask Him in prayer. Are you praying? I mean, is that part of your life? Is that part of your daily life? I mean, are you going to the Lord and saying, you know, it doesn't have to be hours in prayer. It just has to simply be, Lord, I trust You. I need You. Take care of me. Lead me, guide me, direct me in all the things that I do. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. That peace He gives. It's prayer first, and then peace. If you're not praying, you're likely to be worrying about things, and worry is an unleashed emotion that we don't need. It's a waste of time, and it's a waste of energy. And He says, cast your cares upon me. Cast your cares upon the Lord. In Luke 18:14, it says, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked out with worries and riches and pleasures of this life. No fruit, no maturity. So let the things of this world, the things of this life, choke them out. So if you start worrying, pray. Don't let the pressures of life build up. Don't panic, but pray. Prayer is a tremendous stress reliever. You know, what's robbing your peace today? What's robbing you of your peace today? I think we could all probably have a different reason, but yet very common. Just give it to the Lord. Just give it to Him today. Before you leave today, right where you're sitting, just give it to Him. Whatever you're worrying about, whatever problems that you have that's dragging you down, that's holding you back, just give it to Him today. And it's simple. All you have to do is say, Lord, I give it to You. I trust You. You're in control of my life. Just say, God, grant me the peace to accept the things I cannot change. I do not give me the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The wonderful byproduct of your prayer is peace. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for allowing us this moment, this morning, Lord, to come and gather together, Lord. Lord, I just pray for peace upon each and every one that's here, each and every one that's sitting at home, Lord, listening on Zoom. Lord, I just pray for your peace to come. Lord, let us set aside all those things that may hinder us from serving you or hinder us from that peace that you can give. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Let us leave here better than we came. And as we surrender ourselves to your service, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for listening in. I love you all. Thank you all for coming.